Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And today we look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, in connection with the fact that if we do believe in Christ, we need to stand for the Lord. And I invite your attention to Ephesians 6, reading verse 10 down through verse 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, this beautiful passage from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus recognizes what's the greatest and most fundamental truth of the Christian's existence, and that is the Christian life is a constant state of conflict and warfare. You say, well, I thought becoming a Christian, everything was going to be rosy. I thought when I became a Christian, everything's going to be fine. I thought when I became a Christian, the Lord would be on my side. Yes, when we're on the Lord's side, He's on ours. But being a Christian does not exempt us from conflict and spiritual warfare. There are many conflicting ideas in the Bible, and there are many paradoxes of the Scripture, but one of them is seen here. Christianity, some once served up like pablum that's just smooth, and it's going to smooth over people's needs. It's going to make everything appear happy and rosy, and the gospel of perhaps wealth and riches, but that's not the gospel that's presented in the Bible. In Christianity, there's an element of comfort. There's the comfort of the Scriptures. There's a peace of mind that comes from knowing that God is in heaven and that all is right with Him in charge of the world. And far as the Christian is concerned, there's the strength that comes from the Father who's all-powerful. Yet in the midst of all the contentment and peace and joy and satisfaction, there's the idea that Christianity is a never-ending warfare, that there is a conflict that's going on. We meet Satan in the battlefield as temptation is presented, and by the grace of God, we're successful in turning him away from us. We're told by James to resist the devil and he will flee from us. But he doesn't flee in fear. He simply makes a strategic retreat, and having regrouped, he comes at us again and again and again. Even Jesus, when he met the temptations of Satan, that came immediately after his baptism, found them coming like hammer blows, one right after another. And when by his skill and his knowledge, as we understand from Matthew 4, he was able to turn Satan away, we know that Satan didn't go very far away. But he came several times during the life of Jesus. It was a temptation for Jesus when those followers of his came on one occasion and threatened by force to take him and make him a king. There's just as much temptation in wanting to elevate him to the place of kingship at that point in his life. as there was earlier in Satan saying, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. They'll be your own. It was Satan who caused those enemies of Jesus to ridicule him, to spit upon him, and to injure him horribly and nail great spikes into his hands and his feet and there on the cross to leave him to die. That's Satan's ultimate weapon. If he can just get a man dead so that he's buried in the earth, then he can come back and do battle with others. But Jesus didn't remain dead in the grave. He came back. By the power of God, on the third day, he came forth as the risen Lord to do battle again and to provide the strength for our continuing battle with Satan. Well, how do we successfully engage in this kind of battle that Paul is describing in Ephesians chapter 6? Well, he answers our question when he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, why is it necessary to put on the armor of God? Well, it's simply a matter of equipping oneself, being equipped for the kind of battle in which we are going to be engaged. And this particular armor Paul describes is needed because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers and the world rulers of this darkness, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. And there's nothing quite like being properly equipped for whatever job one has to do. A man going to fight a war against a literal enemy is going to need the right kind of protection. He's going to need the right kind of equipment. We remember David going out to fight against Goliath. He was first offered the king's armor, but then he said he had not proved himself, and the armor was too big for him. Well, David came with a sling, that which was familiar to him, and with a shepherd's sling and five smooth stones, he approached Goliath, and Goliath was insulted by it. He said, am I a dog that you come to fight me equipped as you are? It was just inconceivable to that giant of a man that a little shepherd boy with nothing but a sling and a few rocks would come to stand before him. And there was more to David's armament than just those things of the rocks and the sling. The invisible piece of armor that he had, that hidden piece of equipment, was the strength of God in whose name he went forth to battle, and by whose strength the victory was given. So I'm simply suggesting that Paul describes here a kind of armor that's required for a particular kind of battle. If our warfare was with flesh and blood, we would equip ourselves differently. But since the Christian's warfare is against the principalities and the powers, against the evil powers, against the powers of Satan, we need to equip ourselves in the right fashion for doing battle with Satan. And he says, we are to gird our loins with truth. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to have on our feet the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to take up the shield of faith for a helmet, that of salvation. And for our one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know, friends, this is the only armament that will adequately equip the Christian for the battle that he's going to be engaged in. And with that armament of truth, of righteousness, of peace, and faith, and salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, he's ready to go do battle against Satan. But many times we recognize our failures as people of God. There have been times when we've said, well, I'm not really the kind of Christian I ought to be. And I have failed in my fight against Satan. I've slipped up. I've tripped up. I've let the devil overcome me. And Paul said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou shall be tempted. Sometimes we leave a gap in our armor that makes us weak. Sometimes we go to battle with the forces of evil, not having girded ourselves with truth. And so we have no answer for falsehood. Or we listen to the devil's lies, and we cannot turn aside the arguments that come in the guise of temptation. We need to be equipped with the truth of God. Unless we have protected the vital parts of our body with the breastplate of righteousness, we leave ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. Do you want to stand before a group shooting arrows at you without any protection for the body, leaving the heart and the lungs and other vital organs exposed to fatal injury? Well, it's just as fatal spiritually to stand before the forces of evil if we have not made the proper preparation as it would be to physically stand before someone shooting arrows at us. And if we do not walk in the footsteps of the gospel of peace, if we do not take up the faith in God that's so necessary, then we have no reason to be surprised when failure occurs, when we allow Satan to get a hold of us. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. We're engaged in a great battle for the minds of men, for the souls of men, for the souls of women and boys and girls. And we will never win. We will never win another to Christ. We will never win ourselves to Christ until we have prepared ourselves to stand for the Lord, to stand with the Lord, to stand by the Lord in this life, and to stand having His Word that we might have that promise of eternal life with Him. If you today have not put on the whole armor of God, first become a Christian, then put that armor on that you might be able to stand against Satan and have the victory of everlasting life.